The Lord has laid just one verse upon my heart as I conclude this evening. And it's actually found in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews 2 and verse 3, I think many of you here will know that, even without opening up your Bibles. But if you want to join me, please feel free to do so. And the word of the Lord says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" But specifically that phrase at the beginning of Hebrews 2 and 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And just under 2 weeks, I'll actually be in Rio de Janeiro. I'm going out there, as you know, to take in some of the Olympic Games in Brazil, but also to do church outreach. And it reminds me, as many of us would be aware of that famous Christian athlete called Eric Liddell. Even though he was of another century and certainly another generation, his Christian principles stood out and still do so today, where upon discovering that his principal race, the 100 metres, and it still, interestingly, is the blue ribbon event of any Olympics, with Usain Bolt and people like that running in that today. And he was the favourite to gain the gold medal in Paris in 1924. But he chose to place the Lord before any gold medal, for the finals were to be held on the Lord's Day. And instead he switched to another event, the 400 metres, in which he did take gold, broke the world record. And you know, we often think of Eric Liddell, if he had continued on and run in that 100 metres, his names may have been marked down in the annals of the Olympic movement as gold winner, gold medal winner that particular year. But his testimony would really never have been known the way it is throughout the world. He took a stand for the Lord. But what often isn't mentioned about the same athlete, he eventually was to give up his athletics career, and a calling upon his heart by the Lord took him out to the land of China, along with the work of the China Inland Mission. There he served the Lord very faithfully. That was until the Japanese invaded during the Second World War. And then he and his family become prisoners of war. You're saying, "Billy, where are you going with this?" Well, it does fit in with our title, "How Shall We Escape If We Neglect So Great a Salvation?" Because when they were in that prisoner of war camp with very little to survive, harsh conditions and harsh treatment by those who were their captors, there was an opportunity, a window of opportunity for escape. And that was, an agreement was made between the British government and the Japanese for an exchange. And there were some Japanese people were being held, and some were controlled by the British and the Americans. And a ship was sent in each direction. And a boat arrived in China. And all those in that prison camp had an opportunity to escape. Not included Eric Liddell, included his family. He took the opportunity to send his family on board, and off they sailed to Canada. But he himself neglected to take that opportunity, because he was aware that there were many, many lost souls still in that area, even Japanese soldiers. And he had a calling upon his heart which he would not turn back from. And Eric Liddell stayed on, because that prisoner of war camp soon filled up with other missionaries' children, even the locals as well. And until his dying day, and tragically he died, I think it was in the month of February, just a few months before the war ended in 1945. But until his dying day, he served the Lord, sharing the word of God, sowing it into hearts. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In the case of Liddell, he decided not to escape, but that he would stay to win souls for Christ. One testimony was that he had given this gentleman his running shoes, because until the very end, Liddell still liked to exercise and run, even in a prison yard. But the person said he gave me something more important than that. It was hope through his God and his Savior, Jesus Christ. And I come to know that Savior. And I want to take on that testimony that Eric Little left behind. That was one of the fellow prisoners of war in that prison camp who eventually was liberated at the end of the war. Friends, as we consider our text tonight, it is a vitally important question for your soul. How shall we escape? See, I want you to notice here that it's in the plural. How shall we escape? It includes everyone here tonight. There's no one excluded, and hence in this sense, there's a general situation that embraces everyone gathered in this meeting, everyone who listens on to this message via social media or via CD. As we think of the we in this story, I'm reminded of the book of Genesis and the story of Lot and his wife. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel in chapter 17 and verse 32? Simply, remember Lot's wife. Why, in the midst of all of his teaching, would the Lord purposely pause in that moment and tell his audience, remember Lot's wife? What is there to remember about this woman? This woman whose name we don't even know. Well, friends, there's a few things about Lot's wife that we should know. She believed that there was no need to escape. She didn't believe, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? She didn't believe there was any need to escape from anything to anywhere. After all, she was married into a good family, wasn't she? The New Testament, the book of 1 Peter, refers to Lot being as a righteous man. Now, we know he had his frailties and failures, but he still was a saved man. And she was married into his family. She was his wife. But of course, Lot was part of a greater family. He was a nephew. His uncle was Abram, the great patriarch in the Jewish history. The man that was known as the friend of God. Someone who Lot's wife could have said, I've met him. I know of him. I can remember meeting him in such and such a place, talking to him. Why? In Genesis chapter 18, you know, he's even been praying for me. Oh, what privilege this lady had. Through her relations, she would have known of the gospel. She would have known that Lot, even though his life wasn't as it should have been, believed in God, believed in heaven, believed in hell, believed that there was a need to escape. Not only through her relationships and their family was this lady privileged and was aware of the gospel, but who did she entertain in her own home? Were there not two angels who arrived on one occasion and there abode in her house? How much more privileged could she have been? Yet the Lord warns us, remember Lot's wife. We remember when those angels revealed the forthcoming judgment upon the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. How whenever Lot lingered, his wife even more so, they literally were dragged out of the house by the hand. The angels brought them out. What more could she want? They had set them on their path to salvation and to safety in Zoar. And literally left them at the very gate of that city with just one warning. And that was not to look back. That was the only thing that they were forbidden to do. And of course we know the story of Lot's wife, and that's why the Lord says, remember Lot's wife. Because as she neared the gates of salvation, as she literally was a step or two away from Zoar, she turns round and looks back. You see, the Lord would remind us there that even though she'd been dragged out of Sodom and Gomorrah, she left her heart behind there. That's why she turned round to look. Do you think she couldn't hear as the brimstone and fire were coming down from heaven? Do you think she wasn't aware with the heat that those cities had been judged and were under the wrath of God and were in flame? She knew all that. But yet her heart was there. Oh, she didn't take heed to the word of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This lady thought there was no need for it. And tragically, for her misjudgment, for her sin, she perished. Upon looking back, she was turned, transformed into a pillar of salt. Friends, how tragic it is that there may be someone here tonight and you are almost within touching distance. That is how close Mrs. Lot was to the gates of Zoar and to be saved. And at that very moment where she needed to take one more step of faith, she halted and turned back and was lost forever. Could that be your fate tonight? You don't really believe that there is a hell to shun. Let me tell you tonight, my friends, let me plead with you that there is such a place. And friend, there's no need for you to go there. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The desire of our Heavenly Father is that not one here tonight in Bali Baptist would perish and be lost for all eternity. But friends, God doesn't make us like robots. He gives us the opportunity to choose. And Mrs. Lot chose to stop, to turn, and to burn. How tragic it would be if that would be your end, your demise. Firstly, we have a general situation. How shall we escape? Include you. You need to escape as well. But not just a general situation, but what I term also grave sadness. If Mrs. Lot wasn't sad enough, but she didn't really believe. She had that cloud of witness around her, but she didn't really believe that God was going to punish her. What had she done after all? And all those connections she had. Friends, just one thing, not to realize that you're in danger of hell, that your soul could perish like Lot's wife. It's even sadder, I suggest, when there's someone who knows the truth. Someone who could say that they have known the truth since their youth up. And there may be those here tonight. Someone that we would read off a bit like in Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Another woe. What was it now about Cain, pastor, that we need to pay attention? Why was it that he is condemned in this way? Well, we remember that he had a testimony as well. The testimony was in the form, principally of two people, of Abel, his brother. And both of them had been brought up there in the home of Adam and Eve. And they had been brought up to know right from wrong. They've been brought up to know what God found acceptable and not acceptable. What was sin and what was holy living. What was sacrifice and what was not acceptable unto the Lord to appease His wrath for sin. Right from the outset, Cain would have been taught that principle that Adam and Eve had learnt in the garden, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. They were taught that after they sinned, and God provided a covering for them, just not physical skins to cover their shame, but also through the shedding of the blood of that animal, their sins were covered. Friends, the scripture tells us, therefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. How shall we escape? Cain knew that. I believe that Cain in and of himself understood it, whereas Lot's wife didn't grasp it or denied it. But he just ignored it. You see, he thought that his religious way would find God's pleasure, would obtain God's pardon, God's provision of salvation and forgiveness. And he substituted what we might say, beauty for blood. He was the one who toiled. First farmer we really read of in the scriptures. There's nothing to suggest that he was lax in his approach to his work as he worked and tilled and cultivated the land, yielding much good produce, quality and quantity, no doubt. However, when it come to bring that which God had foreordained would be the only means by which he might receive pardon of his sins and salvation of his soul, on that day when he was to bring that to the altar and lay it before the Lord, he exchanged beauty for blood. He brought of the best of that which had been provided by the land through the work of his hands. Oh, friends, you see, he ignored the fact that it is only by the blood there's remission of sins, there's salvation of souls. And he tried to work his way into heaven. And he found that when he brought the best of his offerings, the best that his hands could do, that God rejected it. God wouldn't accept it. We know the latter part of that story, how with rage seeing then that God accepted Abel's. He took Abel out and he slew him. But friends, the way of Cain is the way of destruction. He tried to work his way into heaven. He tried to do it through his own effort. And he found it didn't work. He found God wouldn't accept it. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're following in Cain's way. You're a good person. You're a hard worker. Wouldn't do anybody any harm. You would say, Pastor, I wouldn't rise up and kill my brother and slay him the way Cain done. But friends, tonight, Cain's problem was that he tried to exchange what God had set forth as the only means of salvation. Through the shedding of blood, the sacrificial lamb had to be presented before him, as Abel had done, taking the firstlings of the flock. You see, his salvation was a bloodless one. And I needn't deny here tonight, there are many pulpits in Northern Ireland, and indeed throughout the world, where any mention of the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb of God, is renounced, is despised, is rejected. Friends, it's in the Word of God. It is a biblical principle from the opening pages of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And tonight, if you're trying to work your way into heaven, no matter how honest, how decent, how charitable a person you are, you will not succeed. You will fail. God will not recognize you as one of His, because He has laid before us a way that is His way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life." He doesn't say, "I'm one of the ways. Now you pick what one you fancy and thereby you go." One way. Through His death on the cross, the shedding of His personal blood that avails and alone avails to make the foulest sinner clean. Friends, how shall we escape? We include you. Don't be like Lot's wife, who really didn't comprehend it and perished. Don't go the way of Cain, even sadder still, someone who did know the way, but someone who then decided to go his own way. You know what the scripture tells us? There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the way of Cain. The general situation, a grave sadness, and finally, a great salvation. As I looked at this, I wondered, what is it that makes salvation so great? The author, we're not quite sure who it was to the Hebrews. He uses this term, neglect so great a salvation. He's telling us something about salvation. He's telling us it wasn't cheap. You see, what makes salvation great is firstly the cost. The scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." It cost God, the Heavenly Father, His only Son, who came into this world to save sinners and had to do so by dying upon the cross of Calvary. It cost Jesus His all, His life. Remember the Lord, the one who taught with authority. He challenged men's hearts. I pray that through His word He's challenging you tonight. Remember the Lord who touched with affection, changing men and women's hearts. Remember the Lord who transformed with authenticity, converting the hearts of men and women. Yet, as was mentioned this morning by Pastor Kennedy, even amongst His 12 closest associates, there was one who would betray Him. One who would deny Him. One who would turn Him in for 30 pieces of silver. We think of the Lord and the cost that He gave His life a ransom for all at Calvary. And there He died for you. How shall we neglect? You see, whilst it's plural and covers us all, it's personal because the Lord Jesus died for you, my friend. Because He loved you so. Oh, friends, as I conclude, the scripture says in Romans 5 and 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Creator, God, our Heavenly Father, salvation was planned in eternity past. You read of that in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. Christ paid the price for that salvation That's why it was so great when he died on Calvary, to take the wrath of God upon his own body, that you might be free, that you could go to heaven. How? Then the question is, how shall we escape if you neglect so great a salvation? There is no way of escape if you neglect salvation. You will surely perish for all eternity. As I conclude, and I do so very soberly, I use the words of the Apostle Paul to the elders and to the church in Ephesus, as are found in Acts 20 and 26 and 27, as he departed from their presence. And as I depart from your presence, I leave you, my dear unsafe friends, to ponder upon these words. Therefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. My Solomon's sincere prayer is that if there have been those who have sat under my ministry these 11 years, and as yet you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, do it now. Because your blood will be upon your own head. May the Lord give you deciding grace this evening. Let us pray, and then we'll conclude with our final hymn. Dear Lord, we have been dealing with a solemn subject tonight. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And Lord, there is no way of escape. Lord, I pray for those who either don't believe that they need to escape, or know that they do, but, Lord, are trying to find some other means by which they may achieve it, that they will remember Lot's wife, and they will consider the woe of Cain's way. And, Lord, upon considering such things in your judgment, that this very moment they will turn in their own hearts and cry out unto thee for mercy. Jesus, save my soul. Give deciding grace, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that no one here would pass from this scene of time into eternity without Christ and into a lost, horrible, and terrible place of torment called hell. Save tonight, Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen. And if there is someone and you want to speak to me or Pastor Kennedy, please feel free to do so, or some other Christian that you know. But please don't go home without making your peace with the Lord and being saved tonight.